was 3 o'clock, right?
Yes.
Let's move on to verse 16 of chapter 5. Perhaps the Lord will give us a word on the other. I mentioned earlier, I've never been around where this was practiced. Have you? Have you ever heard people confessing their faults one to another? That's what Scripture says. What is a fault? It's an area wherein I have, or you have, a deficiency that causes friction or problems amongst brethren or amongst the people of God. And this is one of the best ways, I would think, to be able to identify. You know, I have an opinion of myself. John probably has a far different opinion of me than I do. We can help one another get to the truth of what is really right. That's what this is saying here. It really is, John. Confess your faults one to another. And then, I know this is perhaps physical healing, but I'm not going to limit it to that. I don't know whether you are. But pray for one another. I mean, do we feel the sense of needing the prayers of the saints? And as we think of a group like this, and as I'm riding down the road next week, and we're creatures of habit, you see, we usually always sit in the same place in a room, and you can look around the room, and you can remember people. Some of you I just met for the first time. You can remember to pray. The Lord would be with that brother, that He would be with that sister, help them at school or whatever they're going through. Joe and Laura, just getting married, we want to remember them in prayer. This brother said he's got children that are just reaching the teenage years. They're challenging years. I mean, we know that. They are challenging years. We need to pray for one another, don't we? We'll pray for your children too, John. I'll read the next statement and maybe leave it open for others. The effectual, fervent prayer of a man. I left something out, didn't I? Of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly. That's a good word. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit.
Just a question, young people, that I'd like to hear some of your thoughts as to why would you think that this book closes with the thought of prayer? It began with this matter of wisdom and faith.
Trials,
testings. And now we end with prayer.
I would say one thing, and that's from James 4:8. We've had what has been labeled as the theme of this conference, is draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. All of these practical things we've said over and over again can come only from God. The only way we can get them from God is to have our eyes fixed on Him. And the only way we can fix our eyes on Him is through prayer. I found a verse the other day in Psalm 73. Psalm 73, it's Asaph, is dealing with an issue. In this case, it happens to be, why do the wicked prosper and the righteous don't? But the issue aside, he says in verse 16, when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood. And then he concludes the psalm saying, but as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. So all these things that we've had as practical guidance we said over and over again, the wisdom for all of these come from God and only from Him. And the only way we can get them is to be in prayer.
Yes, as he says all through this book, we've seen how we can do nothing ourselves. The wisdom comes from God. We can't tame our tongues or make ourselves behave. We have to pray to God to do it.
You think this example of Elijah, when you look at him, it says many times when he speaks, but when he asks for no rain, and he says, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." And that's what we are doing when we're praying, is we're putting ourselves before the Lord. And maybe we're kneeling, or sometimes you see in a scripture they're laying down and prostrate. And these are all good things, that we would be before the Lord, and as they've been saying, dependence on the Lord. But you see that with Elijah throughout his life. Someone pointed out to me once, throughout his life you see him use this phrase, "As the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand." He never left the presence of the Lord. He was constantly in prayer. And that's why he could say, "It's not going to rain for 3 years," because he knew the will of the Lord, because he was in constant prayer. It wasn't, "Lord, please make it not rain. I don't know if you're going to do this or not." He knew the will of the Lord. He knew what was going to happen, and he was in constant communion with the Lord because he stood before the Lord.
I think we have what we have in this book are some very tough changes. We spoke about changes several times, but there's some very tough things that we each have to apply to ourselves, and there's some mountains that need to be crossed in the individual life. And I think when you end with something like this, especially with the example of Elijah, and this particular, he prayed that it wouldn't rain. Something, now it's impossible. I can't make it not rain. But you put something so big, so vast, like some of these changes, I don't know what may be difficult for you. I know what's difficult for me. I know the changes that I have to make in my own life, which are hard. But if I'm on my knees wanting to make a change in my life that's righteous, that's right before God, pray, and He'll do it. And that's what it's ending with. It looks like we have a mountain in front of us, but we have the tool to climb it right here. It's the effectual fervent prayer for righteous man of what's right before God.
Scripture says the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Mm.